Amen. I have a question to ask you this morning. How many of you were at this church in 1983? Wow. None of you have changed. You're welcome. Wow. That's amazing. I can't tell you, Pastor Ryan, what a honor and privilege it is to be able to stand here, especially after my first sermon. Gloria, you're not supposed to laugh. But you said you didn't remember, so that's God's grace. It was the providence of God that brought me here, and then after about a year, Chris and I were engaged and then married and lived here of the beginning of our ministry. You helped train and equip us for what God would have years later. I didn't know that I would be joining the Army when I was 46 years old. And I didn't know other things that were to come. But I do know that God is good. Amen? God is good. And after Pastor Ryan and I talked and that we were going to come and I was going to preach, I felt led to share something, and I worked on that for about a week, and then I felt the Lord saying, that's not it. So I found another passage and I worked on that for a week, and that wasn't it either. Oh Lord, time's getting short. It was about Wednesday or Thursday that he finally directed me. And if you have your Bible, would you take it and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter? The book of 1 Peter, just two verses that I believe couldn't be more applicable to what is happening in our world today. And this is, I believe, either for you personally, or for you to take to someone else. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7 say, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Would you pray with me, Father? What a blessing it is to be here. But Lord, I don't want them to see and hear Jeff Hastings. They don't need Jeff Hastings. They need Jesus Christ. And so, Holy Spirit, would they see and hear you and receive a touch from your hand for the words that you have laid on my heart this day. For your glory, honor, and praise, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Chris and I live right outside of the world's largest military base, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, even though that's not what it's called anymore. You know, they changed the name of a lot of these bases. It's Fort Liberty. They have over 55,000 soldiers. As a matter of fact, about 5,000 of them just left for the Middle East recently. And what this passage talks about is what Chris and I see every single day. Worry. Cast your cares. Most people worry about two general areas, health and finances, issues that strike all of us. they did a survey, and the survey was done over multiple people, hundreds of people, and this survey found out how many hours a day that people worry, and they took that and did all kinds of statistics with it. They found out that people worry 14 and a half hours a week. That's 744 hours a year, 45,243 hours a lifetime. Well, if you take that, that's 1,885 days a lifetime. We spend five years in our life worrying. They found that 85% of the things that people worry about never even happen. So you and I spend 5 years of things mostly worrying about things that God takes care of, that He takes care of. To worry means to give way to anxiety, to allow your mind to dwell on troubles, right? John said in the book of John, you will face troubles of many kinds. Jesus' very words, you will face troubles of many kinds, but have hope. I've overcome the world. So no wonder you and I have trouble sleeping. And worry about the future and our kids and our grandkids, etc. Worry also means to strangle or to be seized by the throat. I think I'm preaching to the choir. You and I both know what's that feeling is like. One person told me, I feel like life's a roller coaster. You know, you're on that big part going up to the top, and then the bottom drops out, and oh man, I don't know what's coming next. And then you hit the loop-de-loos, and my wife has said, when your children are young, they step on their toes, but when they're older, they step on your heart, right? Some of you know that. Where all you can do is pray for them. But Peter is talking about the excessive, it's okay to have concern. One mother told me, it's my job to worry. Oh, mom, it is not your job to worry. It's your job and my job to be Jesus to our kids, not to worry. We can have concern, but to worry for the things that we can't fix anyway. You see, when we do that, we sin. We take God out of His place and try to replace Him. And it distracts you and I from what's really important in life. So I believe this passage gives you and I a prescription. How to deal with the troubles of life. God gives you and I the answer right here. Different versions say, casting all your cares upon Him. Throw your anxieties on Him. Let Him carry all your burdens. It's the same thing. Cares, anxieties, burdens. God is giving an invitation to you and I. Oh, would you trust me? Would you trust me? He says first, verse 6, humble yourselves. Humble yourself. humble. To be humble means to bring to the ground or to cause someone to lose status. You might say, whoa, that sounds pretty difficult. I didn't know when I was 45, or when I was here, I'd be joining the army when I was 45. But what happens when you go to basic training is they knock you down in order to, say it again, build you up. They let you see in reality who you are. And that's what God is doing here. He's saying, see yourself rightly. Depend upon the Holy Spirit. This is a command. You know, our flesh, I don't know about you, but our flesh has difficulty sometimes being humble. Anybody else? Yeah. Humble yourselves. Depend upon me. Lower the estimation of yourself. James 4, 6, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but it gives grace to the humble. It says that in verse 5. If you're going to be proud about anything, be proud about Jesus Christ. See ourselves rightly. C.S. Lewis says, there is one vice of which no man in the world is free, which everyone in this world loathes when he sees it in someone else, and which hardly any people except Christians ever imagine that they are guilty of themselves. Pride. Right? We can see it in everyone else. Pride. This is the process where God brings you and I to understand ourselves rightly and who He is and His grace in our lives. And we can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit fills us and we come in complete surrender, and He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Under God's mighty hand. I bet if we started, we could go down the rows and you could tell of God's mighty hand and His work in your life. That you are sitting there only because God's mighty hand. I've never seen God's mighty hand, but I've felt it, and I've seen the effects of it. Those who our great theologians call this anthropomorphic language, using ways of man to describe a mighty God. Right? He holds us in the palm of His hand. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. You know, our culture isn't running to humble themselves. They need to see it first in you and in me as we humble ourselves. And we follow the example of Jesus Himself. 2ndly, it says, cast all your anxiety on Him. Some of you are experts at casting. Right? You know what it means to throw something out there. That's what the word cast means. Get rid of it. Throw it out. Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in not me, you. Psalm 37, commit your way to the Lord and trust in him and he will act. You see, God does not want you and I to be strangled by cares of the world. Well, what about our son? What about our daughter? What about the future? What about the interest rate? Who's going to be president? He says, I got it all taken care of. Trust in me. The day after I joined the army, I got word that I was going to Iraq within a few months. Our son was already in Afghanistan, and the day that I left for Iraq, he was blown up in a very large explosion. And all they could tell us was that they were taking him to the aid station and he was unconscious. They didn't say, oh, we need you to stay home and take care of your wife. No, I had to keep going and cast my cares. Cast my cares. Throw it off with intensity. Don't hang on to it. That's what he wants us to do. Unload it. I got a bag of rocks. And you know what? A lot of times that's the cares that you and I carry. We needlessly carry them around every day and it makes us weary. When we have a world who so desperately needs to see you and I shining so brightly for Jesus Christ. But we're weary. We're weary. That's the future. That's my finances. That's the unknown, right? I could keep doing that. I resigned from my full-time position. I work at a continuing of care continuum. I'm a chaplain for them. But we felt the need is so bad in our community amongst the military veterans and first responders that God has put this on our heart that said, I need you to go. And Pastor, you said, trusting in the Lord, that's what we are doing. So we are casting our cares upon him. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. people will come up to you and say, Leland and Linda, I don't know how you're doing it with all that you're going through. You just seem to have a confidence. And you and I will be able to say, yes, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you. We're not in control anyway, are we? Some of us like to be in control. But throw the full weight, let them all go, and unload your worries, your cares, your anxieties, your struggles on the Lord. He says, cast your cares. Cast your cares. Cares are the, actually it means to divide in different directions. All of those different rocks, all my different cares divide me in different directions and distract me and you from being who God wants us to be and the light that we can be. So I encourage you today, take a piece of paper and write down all those things that weigh you down. Right now, our ministry is at 41% of the budget. That's that one. Jeff has a tendency to worry about that. Our son was in the 101st. His company has lost 28 soldiers to suicide. I could keep going. But I encourage you to write them on a piece of paper and then come up here and take one of these rocks before you leave. And wrap that around the rock and tape it. And then take it out to Red Haw or Leland's Pond or somewhere and cast it. Cast it out. Say, Lord, I can't any longer. I need to be who you called me to be. Each one of them, each and every one of them. And it says, because he cares for you. That cares is different from the first care. It means to be lifted up, to rise spiritually, or to be revived. Oh, wow. Imagine if this church took this seriously. We really took it seriously. You see, I don't think it's a worry problem. I think it's a theological problem. That we don't know God well enough, and not knowing him well enough, we can't trust him. But when we know him well enough to know what it means that he cares for us, it means that we are on his heart and mind all the time. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Right? Right? You're on his heart and mind. He had the very best gift that he had, and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die in your place and my place. The best gift he had, he sent it for you. That's how much he cares for you. It wasn't a fleeting thought. It was the plan from the very beginning. Wow. You mean your friends and my friends would say, seriously, I always thought that God's out there just to spoil my fun and to knock me down when I do bad things. He loves me that much. And when you get to know him, you know he can be trusted. And you know it becomes easier and easier and easier to continue to cast my cares upon him because we can trust him. And you learn that. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up. In due time, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Do you know that God cares for you to the depths that you and I can't even understand? He loves you so much. Have you experienced it? It's not religion. Have you experienced it in a real and personal way? I'm sure Pastor Ryan would be overjoyed to explain to you what it means to trust in Jesus. And then to set you on a path to grow, it means that you become a disciple, a student of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that you and I can live each and every day where the cares of life don't weigh us down and we are burdened. And we can be such a bright and shining light in a dark world. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Do you know that? That's the world. That's what the world needs to see in you and I. The number one thing in our ministry that we deal with is suicide. It's either on the front end or the back end. On the front end, we teach suicide intervention. On the back end, we provide aftercare to a family that is traumatized. Like I said at the beginning, I believe these words are either for you and I directly or someone else is going through something that you and I need to share this with, the hope of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what matters. That's what gives you and I the confidence that no matter what happens, he is faithful. He is with you. First Baptist Church in Sheraton, Iowa, made a difference in the lives of Jeff and Chris Hastings. Strengthened us by the power of God to go and leave this place. And now it is a blessing that we get to serve as missionaries for you and telling people about the love of Jesus. I hope that you can come and stay for pizza, and we want to share with you what it is we do, and we need partners. We need people who would believe in our veterans and our military and our first responders and willing to partner with us. Cast your cares. Humble yourselves, because he loves and cares for you. Would you pray with me?